Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bowlers Union podcast. As usual, it's myself here with Keith today, and we are going to discuss how many deliveries you need as a bowler, and ideally how many deliveries you need to be successful across different formats and at different levels. It should be interesting, actually. But how are you getting on, Keith, today, first of all?
I've just realised, Matt, after chatting to you for about an hour before we started this, yeah. You painted your room.
What does it look like?
Looks like it's almost green.
No, I haven't. I can't explain it. I've got contractors in today, so actually, good job you mentioned that. If there is any background noise, I apologize in advance, and I will try and use my mute button like a professional. Make sure that I'm not, you know what I mean? There's no builders shouting around in the background or whatever. But yeah, this is a really good idea for a podcast and something that you were keen to talk about.
Yes, yes.
Why? What's your rationale?
It just got me thinking of, we've had certain bowlers on, like Luke Fletcher said, basically for 10 years he had one delivery. And we knew he was, he said that openly, he had one delivery, which was what he bowled, and it took him a while, but he learned a different skill and he finds that really good to use. And it just got me thinking of, I wonder how many deliveries you really do need to be good bowling first-class cricket. And then just got me thinking about it, and that's when I put it to you and thought we could chat about it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It's a good one, because I'm a little bit of the school of you need a stock ball and a good bouncer, and you'd be sorted. But clearly, that isn't quite the case, especially when you look at like T20 and stuff like that, for example. So for the start of the chat, should we focus on long format cricket and like red ball bowling? Both,
yeah, that's a good start.
Level, minor counties and first class.
Yeah, so if we look at red ball, you kind of answered there yourself a little bit. You basically said two.
I'm not saying I'm right, because Dale Steyn, when we did him, he laughed at that, didn't he? Well, he did and he didn't, but yeah. Go on, talk to me.
Well, obviously, like, yeah, from a Red Bull point of view, if we started at, let's say, club level, you'd probably say your good club bowlers and your league legends have probably had one ball that they've been really good at, which if you were to grade it, you grade it, let's say, best delivery, your best ball, and it's a good one, it's like a grade A. You've got that grade A one delivery in club cricket, you're actually okay. As you move up the levels throughout the game, I'm thinking, you know, you can't just be a one-trick pony, maybe. Not saying that you can't be, but to kind of keep batters on the toes, you've got to look to upskill and almost, can you get to A-level kind of deliveries or even three, but to what level? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my initial thinking is essentially the better the wickets that you play on, you probably need more than one ball. So, for example, even at test level, well, to be fair, I haven't played test level, so this is a bit rogue, but even at test level, you watch Anderson operate on a wicket that's doing quite a bit. He keeps it quite simple and bowls kind of one ball over and over again, or maybe two, an away swinger and a wobble seam or whatever. So club cricket, potentially where the wickets aren't as good for batting, then you can operate, as you said, you can kind of keep it simple, hit top of off relatively straight, and it's going to be difficult for batters. However, even at club level, on wickets that are flat, you can't just rely on that. And you need to be thinking about other things and other ways of unsettling or confusing. Maybe confusing is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Unsettling batters. It's just knowing perhaps the appropriate other delivery that goes alongside your stock ball.
Yes. So, yeah, I would ask you then, okay, what deliveries, if you could choose in a longer format game, what would those deliveries be?
I believe in doing what naturally comes best to you. So I'm going to use myself as an example. Is my stock ball is an away swinger. And for a long time, I basically just bowled that and a bumper, and that was it.
right,
to get to improve and get better. Especially as my pace came down half a yard, then I felt like I had to add another ball that essentially challenges the inside edge and the front pad more, which I personally believe, I think a wobble seam is actually better than an in-swinger. Yeah. I don't know what you think, but I feel like the in-swinger, quite often people think, oh, I've got an away swinger, I need an in-swinger. And it's like, well, actually, that kind of batsmen can pick that. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of a bit obvious, whereas a wobble seam mixed in with an away swinger can be harder for batters to pick up.
Yeah, I'd say if your pace is up there, then you can have an away. I think it's easy to have an away swinger because a batsman will feel that they're having to play at it anyway, even though it's going the opposite way. Just that first instinct will kick in of get your hands at the ball. But yeah, as you do come down a bit, I think you've got to have something else. And I think a wobble would work probably best. Look at myself. I had an in-swinger to a right-hander and Graham Welch did teach me an away swinger, but it was really ineffective, I thought, in the end, looking at it now, because you have to set someone up perfectly for a while before you can have a chance of that working. And actually your line is so different that it can be picked up pretty obviously. So me bowling an in-swinger to a right-hander with a wobble actually became more effective and more threatening. So I would say, in my eyes, I think just at the level that we're playing at, if you've got three deliveries that, if we grade them, if you've got an A of your best ball, and maybe two Bs. So two Bs could be a very good bowler. So let's say my in-swinger to a right-hander is an A. I'm not saying this is what it is. This is what, if it could be that, and this is what I class as very good. So in-swinger being an A, my bouncer being a B, and maybe my wobble being a B, I think I'd be happy at that level, going, you know, I must be quite effective.
You'd be an unbelievable bowler, 100%. I think you're definitely going to have. I think the first job is to get your stock ball sorted, definitely. And ideally, everyone should aspire to have, as you've graded them there, you should have like an A star delivery. That could be anything. I don't think there's a right or wrong.
No.
Then the next part of your skill acquisition is, right, what ball do I need to complement that? Ideally, it would go the other way. If we're talking movement, it goes the other way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you want to nudge that up, like you say, but it won't ever be, well, it might be, I suppose. Someone like Anderson would probably argue all his deliveries are the same, but it doesn't have to be as good as your natural ball, but you want it to be good. Yeah. I'm assuming your third delivery was a bouncer, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how. I think it's an overcomplicated delivery. I think people overcomplicate it. Sorry. I don't think it's that. I don't think you should have a bouncer that you think, oh, my bouncer's rubbish. It's like an E or something like that. Just pull it as quick as you can halfway down.
Yeah, but I think that's something that takes time because you have to learn. You've got to train your body to do that because it's really alien if you've not practiced bowling bouncers before and you start doing it because you realise you are really ineffective with your bouncer to start with. But then the more you do it, remember we were in Barbados actually. I think you had a good bouncer anyway, but do you remember we had every bowler bowling bouncers at anyone who was batting? And I think Tom Allen, rest his soul, he bounce Clarkey? That didn't go down too well, I think. But we had to do it. Graham Welch set it up that we had to work on our bounces. It was something we were going to utilise more in the season. And that's the best way, I think, is you've got to practice it and you will get better at it, but you've got to keep doing it. And I think it's just an effort ball and you can get it to a B or an A grading if you just keep practicing it.
Coaches make me laugh when they come up with those sessions when they're like, right, we're going to work on the short ball today. And it, in everyone's mind, they're thinking, oh, I don't want to bowl. In a lot of people's minds, anyway, yeah. Like, I don't want to bowl bouncers at my mates here. There's maybe one or two you're happy to. but in general, yeah. And then the, like, for example, Clarkey would be someone in a net that you and I would have been like, I don't really want to bowl a bumper at Clarkie. And equally, you would be in that category. And it's like, I don't really want to bowl a bumper at Keith here. Yeah. And you sort of reluctantly bowl it. But coaches kind of, especially when you're a younger pro, and the coach says, let him have one. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't want to let the senior pro. But yeah, no, you're right. You're right about the bouncer. It's I get where you're coming from. No, I definitely do. I think go on, sorry.
So how many deliveries do you have that you can bank on?
Oh God.
And this is a bit of a personal question now.
In Red Bull cricket?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I may as well be totally honest. Right. Okay, so I have a couple of versions of my stock ball.
Yeah.
So an away swinger to a right hander, right? There is kind of like my natural position on the crease. I say I have three versions of it then. Is there's my natural position on the crease, which is tight-ish, would you say? Is that fair? It's certainly not mid-crease. It's tighter than mid-crease.
Yeah.
I have one, I don't use very often, where I get as tight as I physically can. I get a bit yippy with the umpire. I feel like, do you know what I mean? You know my load up and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to clip the umpire on the head, so I don't like that particularly. And then I have one that is mid-ish. I find it hard to come very wide. I think you quite like bowling one from very wide. I find that angle quite hard. So I have like three different positions that I feel I can rely on with that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is weird. This is the most information thing you've asked me to divulge. I basically kind of have an in-swing. I feel like I have an in-swinger slash wobble, and I couldn't really even guarantee you particularly how it comes out. So with the newer the ball, the more it behaves like a wobble seam. And when the ball is defined, i.e. with a shiny and a rough side, it behaves more like an in-swinger.
Yeah.
That's to the right-hander. Do you want me to keep going here?
Yeah, no, go on. When you've bowled that ball to me in the net, obviously I'm a lefty, it does exactly what you've just tried to describe there. Is it is a wobble, but it is shaping. It's almost like tailing away.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, it's difficult, because, and this is why I think everyone's unique, right? So they have to... The topic of conversation is how many balls do you need? People need to work out the appropriate balls for themselves and how to do it. But essentially, you need to try and threaten the outside edge, the inside edge, and the head, if we're being totally honest, right? But I'm not bothered if the ball I bowl to threaten the inside edge is a wobble or an in-swinger. I'm not particularly bothered, so I don't overthink it. And I know I don't bowl it perfectly, but in some respects, it doesn't matter. So those balls, equally, like you've said, as a left-hander, they apply for a lefty as well. Mm. So, although I wouldn't bowl too many wide of the crease in-swingers to a left-hander, because then it gets quite hard to pitch it in line with the stumps and get the swing you want. And then we've talked about this, can bowl from round, and I feel like I can do the same skill set from round, although that needs a bit of work, to be fair, even at my age.
Yeah.
What about with that? Happy with what I've said there or not?
Bouncer.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, that for me, I find that quite natural, quite easy.
So would you say you've got three deliveries that you use? More times than not.
Yeah, like, so if it more or less. If it was like a document that I was writing, right, it would be like 1, 2, 3, but then they would almost be like one part A, part B, as in positions on the crease. So it gets subtle, right?
Yeah. So what would you grade those three balls that you've just basically described?
Oh, mate. Okay. wow. Well, I've got to give my my away swinger an A.
Yeah.
For my normal position would be an A. Yeah. Then I'd give my away swinger from wider or mid.
Like away slash wobbles, isn't it?
Yeah, so my away swinger to a right hander, this is. Sorry.
All right, sorry.
When I'm more mid crease to wider, I'd give it like maybe an A minus. It's not, I don't love it quite as much.
Right.
The one where I get tighter, I'd give that an A. That's not too, although I don't love it, it's easy enough. I'm going to give my bouncer an A.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. To a lefty then, going across them or into a right hander, like wobbling into a right hander slash across to a left.
Yeah. This is the one where I'm not quite, it's a bit more randomness to it. So I'd say this is in the B category.
So you see, you've got basically two A's and a B. That's not bad. That's not.
Is that fair or not?
Yeah, that's fair enough, mate. You got how many wickets? 600 wickets, or something. That's fair enough.
All right. Okay. That at least that's how I perceive it, right? Everyone's going to perceive it differently, but yeah. What are you going to do that then? Are you going to talk about your? Because you, I'd say on average, you vary your positions on the crease a lot more than me, don't you?
Yeah.
You go over round a lot more.
Yeah. I've my little snakey run up that I do sometimes, or. Remember, I waved at Ricky Ponting when I was running to. So I'd say my in-swinger to a right-hander, away to a lefty, I grade that as a B. I think it's deteriorated over the years, Chris. I think it's not as effective as it used to be. I still bowl it pretty well, but I think in my arsenal of what I can use, I'd put it at a B.
You're in swing into the right hander.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
My wobble is probably a bit more threatening, so I'm going to put that as an A grade.
Nice.
I would then say my bouncer is a. I'm being generous to myself here. I'm going to say a B minus. Only because I'm pretty accurate. I can get it through the odd time. But go on.
I think you've got a good bouncer. I personally, I know I'm your friend, so I'm a little bit biased. I think you use your bouncer, you time it well. You bowl it exactly when it needs to be bowled. And actually, I've seen you've scone quite a few batters where, because of the nature of the way you bowl, they're very preoccupied with, got to get forward to Keith. I've got to, you know, gauge my off stump well, and then you go boom, pin him. I think you time it well.
So that's where I've been pretty decent with that. But I'd give that like a B minus. I have, I don't know if this is still like still an in swinger to a right hander, but from round the wicket. So if I go back to the in swinger, but from round the wicket, that's probably a B plus. Because it's so, I think it surprises a lot of batsmen when I've done it. I don't do it often. That's why I think it's been quite surprising, quite effective. But then this is my fourth delivery. So I've got in swinger to a right hander or away to a left hander, bouncer, wobble seeing. But then I do bowl one, which is like an away swing wobble from round. And I reckon that's like a B plus. As in what it does, maybe even touching on an A minus. I think it's proper effective. I've been doing it a bit more recently in the warm-ups, this game, just when I've been bowling through. And it looks to shape a fraction away from the right-hander, but then it does seem to nip and go quite a bit more. I'm not saying like you need to have all those tools, but I feel I've had to find extra ways of bowling because I've been down on pace compared to other bowlers.
Going back to your around the wicket in swinger to a right hander, There's only three bowlers I can picture really bowling that, and that is Wasim Akram, Mohammed Amir, and you. So you're good company there. You know what I mean? I'm talking like a big booming innings.
Yeah, it's all about
a lot of.
The hardest thing is making sure you started on the right line. So a lot of people, I tried to get Stoney to do it, and he started to do it last year a little bit. He tried to do it to me when he bowled at me, and I said to him, what he did wrong is that he angled it. He aligned himself to the batsman, to like the middle stump, like middle and off, when actually you need to be like aligned to like fifth stump at least, and bowl towards fifth stump. And then you've got to try and, we talked about swing the other day. You've then got to really try and swing it, but aim for fifth/sixth stump. That's why I found it really effective, because if you bowl wobble for so long, batters just see the ball going straight, and yeah, it might be nipping, but as soon as you chuck one like fifth stump, they almost think, oh, it's a leave ball, because they're not expecting to come back in. And that's at last second, it can come back in quite a bit. So yeah, I'd say I've got four deliveries that I will use. I'd never really use that last one though to a left-hander where I'm wobbling it, trying to get it to come back in, because I feel like I might leap down leg side a bit.
Okay. So this is all very good advice. And I feel like you're showing off a bit. We'll be showing off a bit there. It's my belief that we've obviously talked about our variations, but people can quite often overcomplicate it. And my advice to anybody at any level would basically be, whatever you do naturally, you need to find a ball that just does or doesn't do the same thing. So, for example, if you're an away swing bowler, then your variation should be something that runs back in a perfect world, or even doesn't swing away. So like wobble seam, perfect for it. Probably better than an in-swinger because it's harder to pick up. Equally, if your stock ball or your natural ball is a big innie, then you need to somehow find a ball that doesn't swing in and that just threatens the outside edge and continues through to the keeper. And I think, especially with in-swing bowlers, actually, I feel like there's so many bowlers that I've seen swing it in and they hate it and they want to swing it away so desperately. And it's like, actually, you don't need to. You can keep swinging it in and just have a ball that stands up and carries on. And that's really threatening.
I'd agree. That happens a lot. I mean, we've spoken to quite a few bowlers throughout the years, younger lads coming through who want to be different type of bowlers than what they actually are. And they can go away from that strength that they have. So it could be, like say, a ball that comes back in, a right armer who bowls that comes back into a right-handed batsman. And rather than trying to swing it away, they only need that ball to just carry on that same line. Rather than swinging in, going gun barrel straight, but if they're in the right line, on the right line and bowling the right area, it will cause problems for the batsman, no doubt about it. It doesn't need to be huge at all.
No, 100%. This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Gray Nichols. Now, you can get yourself a Gray Nichols code. It's down the bottom of our screen. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, then it's all capitals. It's A_TBUP20. So you can go to graynichols.co.uk and you can get yourself some of the best kit in the world. And that is, without question, I'd say, Keith, isn't it? Superb company. And we're delighted to be able to offer that to you. Right, but should we move on to...
Let's crack on. We're going to go into white ball, Chris. Now, I know I had my... I had two deliveries, pretty much, which was slam a length as hard as I could, with a bit of swing in there, but then just nailing my Yorkers. That was, obviously, going back a while now, that was my go-to deliveries as and when I need them. The game's changed. The game's moved on. We had... Chris Wood talk about how he bowled and stuff like that. How many deliveries do you think in the white ball game do you need now?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it is important to acknowledge the game has evolved and moved on a hell of a lot. So in this form of the game, particularly, it's really important that you speak to people. I would say relevance a bit mean, but the more modern day the player, the probably more relevant or more you're going to get good advice on this. Okay, so my opinion here is movement is a little bit less of a factor. A little bit less. It's not. It is still a factor because you can still swing a white ball, and you can still use your wobble seams and stuff. But obviously, that goes quite quickly. So, I would argue the same variations in terms of shape apply. So, you know, you should ideally, you might have a stock ball in your case, Keith, left arm over the wicket, back in, yeah. And then you want to have something that carries on with the arm and runs away or whatever. But what we're really talking about is we're adding in Yorkers and slower ball variations, aren't we?
Yes.
I think a common thing you hear is you want to have a ball that goes away from the bat for both a left-hander and a right-hander. This would obviously be cutters, for example. So I suppose someone like a Stuart Broad would be someone who would bowl cutters. Yeah, for example. And then you've got your sort of seam up. I think Chris would use the terms, your seam up variations, slow ball variations, which are your knuckle ball, your back of the hand slower ball, and potentially any sort of split finger kind of things. What do you think there? Do you need balls that go away from the bat? Or do you think the ones with the straight seam are the best ones?
I think your lines are so important with the ball moving away from a batsman, because that could free a batsman up to hit you anywhere if you're not fully on it. I've always been someone who wants to keep batters tighter. So it's a tough one. I think if you've got the pace, I think with the ball moving in the air away from the batsman, that can trouble batsmen. But I think if you're a little bit slower, obviously, depending on the wickets, you've got to mix it up. And I think your cutters, your backhand slowies can become very important. And even utilising a Yorker at the right time can become so important. Like you said about, I know you're talking about myself, but like using my bouncer in Red Bull cricket at the right time. I think the more variations you've got, you can't just throw them out whenever you feel like it. It has to be the right time if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I don't know if I sort of probably went too far ahead there, but definitely in white ball cricket, you essentially need to have a heavy length. You need to have a Yorker and you need to have a bumper. I think that's like you can't get away with not, I don't think. I'm sure you'd agree. I'm sure most people would agree. So within that, though, there, like you say, the lines are key, aren't they? So actually, do you have a straight Yorker? And like yourself, you used to have a good wide Yorker, especially, didn't you, at right-handers at the death. So it's having that control of not only the length, but you almost give yourself two variations, don't you, by being able to nail the wide line and bowl like a toe crushing Yorker.
Yeah.
White ball bouncers are great because your field invariably is set really well for it. Typically you'll have a third man, a fine leg and a deep square for long periods of a white ball game. Maybe less so in T20 because you're going to have probably one of the third man or the fine leg might be up in the ring. But in general, the reward for the bounce is quite high, I think, in white ball cricket, because quite often it just goes straight up in the air to mid wicket, or someone might peel off a catch at deep square or something. Whereas in red ball, quite often you're operating with 2-1, maybe 3, fine leg out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you something, actually, because obviously you've just mentioned there about using your bouncer. And I know you're talking from a point of where you're playing in the middle of a ground, but how often is that happening for county games? Really, you're always in T20 games, especially, can be quite big one side and short another. So if, let's say, you were bowling at a right-handed batsman, and it's short leg-sided, what deliveries would you look to use?
Yeah, so this is typically Edgbaston, isn't it? Especially back in the day for you and I. Yeah, you have to suck it up. So if I was bowling from the end, the city end at Edgbaston, the Chris Wokes end, with the short leg-side boundary towards the motor point stand, you're not going to bowl a bouncer. You're going to basically... I mean, you could bowl a bouncer. I think statistically over time it would prove it wasn't a good idea, because I think you're going to go for six a lot. And even if the batsman makes a mistake there, they top edge it, it goes for six. It's not, do you know what I mean? The reward drastically comes down. I'm sounding like a right stato here, aren't I? So essentially, you've probably got a window where you can hit the top of the stumps, haven't you, on off stump. But once batsmen really start targeting that leg side, you're probably left with wide Yorkers and variations of wide slower balls, I'd have thought.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I'm going to throw something in there. From, I think this was you came up with this when we were pre-season in Barbados. We talked about the type of batsman. Can you remember the three categories? Yeah.
I feel like this has gone mainstream now. This is, have I invented something and got no credit for it or what? I don't know.
I think you did. I actually think you did, but the time's moved on, chin up. So you had, and I'm coming on to this to talk about this because I'm looking at you explaining the type of deliveries and when you would use these deliveries for the type of batsman. So you had your deflectors.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what those were? Even though it is pretty much self-explanatory.
Yeah, hang on. I've got to remember, because this was a long time ago when I first came up with this idea.
Deflectors were batsmen who would come in and they would look to use your pace and soft hands that behind square a lot of the time.
Absolutely. Maybe
just
get
themselves in, or that was just their game.
Yes, that's correct. Right. So the idea was to call a batsman or categorize a batsman, and that should in theory dictate the field and the balls you bowl. So for example, a deflector would be, you'd almost certainly have mid off up. And you bowl a lot of slower balls.
Yeah.
There was dumb hitter, wasn't there?
So there's the dumb hitter. You want to explain what deliveries you would bowl to a dumb hitter?
So my theory with dumb hitters were that a pace on bouncer, for example, would go down in value against the dumb hitter, because they are just going to try and swing, and invariably ground sizes being and stuff being what they are, it just goes out the park. So actually you had to mix your pace up a lot against a dumb hitter. So slower ball bouncers, I thought, this is a talking death, was a great option.
Yes.
Obviously, alongside nailing a Yorker, that's always going to be good. But sometimes with someone who swings so aggressively and almost stupidly, even that, they commit so hard that they get good results from it. So the changes of pace became important.
And the consistency of, they want the pace the same every ball.
Correct.
They don't want to have to change their bat swing mid shot at all.
They can't do that. They can't do that. This is like, I'm trying to think of a really good example of a dumb hitter. Trying to think on the, is there any mainstream sort of IPL batters who you might put in that category? It'd be typically someone who bats like eight or nine, who's a bowling all-rounder who smokes it but just has no finesse. That's the image, you know. I would like to say I'd be in that camp, but I don't think I am. You have to make more contact with the ball.
I'd definitely be in that range. You want it, yeah. I'm the same. I'd want it one speed just to go full swing.
Right.
And as soon as that changes, you kind of, you're through your shot already and you can't slow down. So you want in pace off for you dumb hitters. You want variations. You want bouncer, toe crusher, backhand slower ball, knuckleball.
Absolutely.
Keep them guessing. And then you had your 360 players, which I remember at the time we described as like your Joss Butler and your Owen Morgan at the time.
Yeah, and they weren't around so much, were they, back then? This is the thing. 360, they were a problem. I don't think that was ever solved particularly. Other than, I would say, potentially the more 360 is, the more wide Yorkers become a good option, because you can't, that there is a limit to where you can hit a good wide Yorker, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? Like if you're bowling a straight Yorker and let's say a batsman commits to trying to hit it over their head behind them, it's your margin's tiny as a bowler. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a joke. But actually, if you get it wide, it does make that a lot harder. But again, these were quite innovative ideas back in the day. What was the other one? There's one we've missed.
Well, there was deflected dumb hitter and 360.
Oh, and then there was another version of a hitter. So it was like a good batter at the death, but doesn't ramp it and hit it behind them. And I think my views at the time on that were that was where you nail a Yorker. So it was more about nailing a Yorker. You know you're not going to get ramped, and they're only trying to hit you straight, so you nail your Yorker.
I mean, some teams, why I wanted to go on to this is because some teams, they do take a gamble and have a dumb hitter up top. Warwickshire did for a while. Left-handed batting at three. didn't work too well.
I thought you were going to have a little jab at Neil Carter.
Carts was good against pace, and once teams figured out spin was the way forward, he struggled. Which now that happens, but some teams would open up or have a dumb hitter come up in the innings early, so you would look to mix your pace up there. Predominantly, most openers and up to five or six were all strong shots or deflectors, so you. Basically, I'm trying to say that you categorise very early on what you need to do to certain bowls, and you only find towards the end of an innings with maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 that you maybe had a little bit more room for error, but you would have to utilise variations more because those dumb hitters were predominantly coming later on in the innings, wouldn't they?
Totally.
You'd have your match winners that are coming at 7 or 8 who would just look to hit a big ball, and from then on, that's where you would look to maybe go wide Yorker one ball, bounce to the next, slower ball variation, cutter, keep them guessing.
No, totally. I think the point, I remember again, when we were talking about it the first time, it was because you could sense the standard of batting was improving. And actually in the heat of battle, in the heat of a T20, it was an idea of really simplifying things and knowing the appropriate balls for a type of player. Especially if you couldn't remember, 18 counties, each with 7 different batsmen, having loads of analysis on each one, it was easier to sort of type them and stuff. I feel like the use of line has changed a lot in white ball cricket over our period of playing. Like certainly when I started, there weren't too many people nailing wide Yorkers. It wasn't so much a thing. It was like you try and blow people's toes off and hit the stumps. And then I don't know what the catalyst was, but people started using the line as variations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something you can relate to, because obviously you were a good exponent of that, weren't you? From over the wicket, bit reverse, hitting the wide line.
I mean, your head coach, Alfonso Thomas, he was someone else as a bowler. He would happily go. I spoke to him about it when he was at Hampshire coaching us. He would always try and utilise that wide line and bowl like a wide cutter, because batsmen really couldn't reach it, he found. And it was a way of getting out of his over quite well. Or seeing if a batsman moved. So, yeah, I mean, I found when I was bowling those wide Yorkers, obviously I feel like I had a really good field for it, because a lot of the time I would be bowling to a short leg side boundary edge. So I don't actually remember my field position, so a bit long and boring, but 45, square leg in the ring, deep mid-wicket, long on, long off, extra cover in the ring, deep cover, backward point on the edge of the ring, and the third man. And the amount of right-handers that would always try and shovel themselves across to 6th, 7th stump to try and hit that leg side made it even easier for me, because such a hard angle for them to try and get hold of that. I'd have to bowl either a really bad ball or just a full toss, basically, for it to go there. But there's only one person who did the total opposite to any other batsman, and I panicked because I had nowhere to go from there.
Can I guess who you're going to say?
Go on.
I reckon you're going to say David Hussey.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never panicked so much in my life, because he, rather than fight against it, I think the first ball I bowled it to him, he he tried to hit leg side, missed it. And then I reckon he looked at backward point and thought, I can beat him. And I bowled a really good wide Yorker, and he just went with it. Hit it either side of what would have been William Porterfield at backward point and hit me for two fours there and then hit me for another two after that. And I was expelled because that's the only person who went against what I was trying to do. So I had my Yorkers, and not many people, I don't feel, dominated me in that area, but can't do that now. It's too predictable. You do have to have three or four different balls. And I know that's something, as time went on, we spoke about how many can you have two or three different balls for the same field to keep the batsman guessing. And I think it's still like that now. You really have to have a few balls, don't you, for one fielder, or else you just become, it becomes obvious what you're trying to do.
I'm gonna try and tally these up, right? So again, jump in if you agree or disagree. So you've got your stock delivery. Doesn't matter what that is. That's one. Then you've got the ball that just behaves slightly different, but is kind of a stock ball. So like a wobble seam, for example. So that's two. You then need, you should have a Yorker that's at the toes or at leg, middle and leg kind of thing.
Yeah.
You should have a wide Yorker.
Yeah.
That's four.
You need a
cutter. They're not all going to be world class, by the way, but these are.
But you need a cutter in case a wicket is something that grips.
Absolutely. You need, and a cutter's a simple delivery, I believe. Yep. Very simple delivery. Whether it's a right hander and it's in or a lefty, it's effective. You can play with the line. So you've got an off cutter.
Bouncer.
You need a bouncer.
You need a slower ball variation. Whether that's,
I think you need a slow. I think a slow ball bouncer is a good ball. I've seen a few things on social media about how it's kind of low skill. You know what? I agree, it is, but it still works on the right surface. So okay, it's a slow ball bouncer, right? So we got cutter. Now we're into slower balls. I think you should have one of a back of the hander or a knuckleball.
Yeah.
So your Ricky Clarks, your Jay Dernbachs. Brilliant exponent, Ravi Bapara, brilliant exponent of. Equally, you've got your AJ Ty, you know, who's got the knuckleball and is brilliant at that. So I think you one of those seam up variations, right? I won't talk about the lines that you can bowl.
No.
So that's eight. That's eight balls. But I mean. That's fair, right, or not?
It is. I don't know if there is anyone who's got all of those. So let's say you wanted to be up there as, like, the best.
Who's the best white ball bowler in the world at the minute? You know what? You keep chatting for a minute, right? I'm loading cricket info up now. Whilst we're online, and I'm going to find out who.
If there's eight deliveries, we're saying, if you like, there's eight deliveries basically in white ball cricket where you go, you've got them, you're an amazing, you're probably the best ball there is. But how many of those can you have and be good at to be good enough?
Well, interesting. You know what? Immediately, I have thought of there is pace probably dictates a little bit of this.
Yeah.
And that, so actually, I can't get quick info up. I don't know where it is. But for example, Shaheen Afridi would probably be in the top five, wouldn't he, at the moment in white ball cricket?
Yeah.
I don't think he has all of those balls.
No.
But he bowls 90 mile an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing. If you don't bowl 90 miles, so like AJ Ty, good example, he's what, between 80 and 85?
Mm.
He has all of these variations.
Yeah.
Because he has to, right? At that speed. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Bumrah? What's Bumrah's crack?
It's just... What?
Min.
Yeah.
What's his slower ball, Bumrah?
Does his slower ball go slower than 90 mile an hour? I mean...
He definitely has like a big off cutter, doesn't he? That has that sort of.
Yeah, I'd have to look, mate. I haven't seen him bowl in a little bit, to be honest.
So I think pace is the kind of the thing that can change this, but ultimately you do need at least five or six different deliveries.
I was going to say, I think you need five at least to be going along the right lines of being very good in white ball cricket.
So if I was advising a, if I was advising a young kid now, in fact, you know what, I'm going to be totally honest. I think I've said this to George, my son, because he loves his cricket. I'm like, if you can bowl 85 mile an hour and above, and you had a back of the hand slower ball, I reckon you're guaranteed to play professional cricket.
Not far wrong. Probably right there. Yeah.
You'd at least have a crack. You'd at least be given the opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So is that you just going to try and get bowl as quick as you can with a slow ball?
You can lead a horse to water, Keith. But I genuinely believe that. Like, I do believe in trying to simplify things. I don't know if we've done that in this podcast for people or not. But I'd argue for white ball, like I've just said there, you definitely need either a knuckle or a back of the hander. And I'm assuming everyone has a cutter because that's easy to basically bowl a quick off spinner. You know what I mean? No matter who you are. And you know what? It's easy to be accurate as well with a cutter, I find. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I'd agree with it. I mean, it should be interesting. So he's got a very good cutter, is Scott Curry. Interesting. I have a chat to him about where he puts his thumb and stuff like, and how he looks to bowl it. Because he's a little bit different. I'll tell you what he bowls his cutter like. From a Steph Pilot.
Yeah.
It's similar to his. Whereas I was very much basic doorknob, just coming across, like opening door. So I wasn't as effective as someone like a Scott or a Steph was with that. But there's different ways of bowling your cutters. But
you say that. I wouldn't undersell yourself in terms of your success that you've had in white ball cricket, right? You know, those two players would hope to have the success that you've had. So you know, I get what you're saying, but I think, interestingly, with Scott, obviously I play with him now, for him to move through the levels, it's not his, it's his stock ball in white ball cricket. If he can improve that a bit, I think he can go far. Yeah. Because he has got a night. Has he got a back of the hander, I think? Or is it an upper ball he bowls as well?
I think he goes to that. I'm not sure it's his. I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, definitely you need five, at least five, if you're going to be good in white ball.
Yeah.
Pick whichever five, but they've got to be, those five have got to be very good.
Here's one. This is for young aspiring kids, right? If I said to you, your stock ball's going to be great, you can either have a world-class Yorker or world-class slower ball, what would you choose? In order to get that big IPL contract.
Well, do you know what I feel goes amiss a lot of the time? And I think it has for years. And I haven't watched loads of international cricket recently. But would you say there's many death bowlers around nowadays?
We touched on this with Chris Wood a bit about the, and I think there is a bit of a factor in the fact that there's two new balls now, because it takes reverse out. I think you see more Yorkers and more what you might call old school death bowling if there was more reverse. You know, I think growing up, I used to watch people like Umar Gul tearing in and like slinging in these big reverse swinging Yorkers you can't hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kind of removed that a little bit, haven't they, by taking the two, by making it two new balls. But I know what you mean. I don't think there's loads out there now. It's kind of coaches talk more about everyone's got to be able to bowl at the death. And I think there is a few, someone like Nathan Ellis, for example, that you play with in Hampshire. But it seems to me now lots of people are capable of bowling an over here or there reasonably well, rather than having an abundance of bowlers who just excel at the death.
Yeah. Going back to your question then, I would take... So, hold on, were you saying what was my stock ball? Just quite quick, did you say?
Well, your stock ball is just, it's just great. It's a beautiful in-swinging left arm over
at
a right-hander. So you can either bowl a brilliant slower ball or brilliant Yorker.
I'd go old school and go Yorker.
would you?
Yeah, I always liked, obviously I bowl wide yorkers, but I always liked when a batsman moved. If they ran at me or came leg side, I always enjoyed firing it at the tails or just following them, and I wouldn't want to lose that. And I'd be a bit wary of, yes, I could have a really good back of the hand slower ball, let's say.
Mm.
But at the end of an innings, I would never want to bowl a back of the slower ball that went out of the park when I'm trying to see out a game. I couldn't live for myself. I couldn't.
This is so funny because, like, interesting. It's a good feeling, isn't it, bowling a yorker at the death,
mm-hmm.
and the batsman misses it and it goes through to the keeper, and you get like a cheer or whatever, and the lad's like, "Yeah, we'll bowl." But I reckon if you were told you had to bowl a maiden, right? You had to bowl a maiden in the last over of a T20 to win the game or to, you know, save your family's life or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter. You couldn't do it unless you bowled a slower ball. And I think there's a clip of AJ Tye. I think he might bowl a maiden in the last over one game. And he bowls six back of the hand slowies or something like that. And every ball, the batsman swings and just misses it completely.
Dumb hitter, though, wasn't it?
Dumb hitter. Exactly. Yeah. It was the appropriate ball. But you can't do that with a yorker.
You could do it with an aggressive bouncer followed by a wide yorker.
Mm.
I know what you mean.
I'll tell you what I would say. Tip, if anyone who wants to skank a few wickets at the death, use the odd short ball. you might, interestingly, your economy rate might slightly increase, but you'll skank a few caught on the boundary. Oh dear.
Yeah, just as a bit of a roundup before we finish this this episode, mate. Red ball, how many deliveries?
Three. Bouncer, and you should be able to move the ball naturally one way and make it not do that for another. Mm. So three.
At a high level. Yeah. And white ball, out of the possible eight we talked about.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any like you have to have out of those like five that you're picking?
Oh God, yeah. You have to be able to hit the top of the stumps, like that thigh pad height hard. That's the most important, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you have to have a bouncer, but you should. I think you have to have a yorker.
Yeah.
So that and you have to have
cutter.
One of those slower balls.
Yeah.
A cutter. You should have a cutter. So I'll say you have to have a cutter, but that's not hard to do.
That's pretty decent, I'd say. It's a good roundup. So three red ball, if you can work on those and make them as high a standard as possible, and five with a white ball, same again. High standard, push your limits, you know, compare yourself to others and get better.
Yeah, and look, listen, we love all the listeners' stuff. Please share it with people. If you like the podcast and you think other people might like it too, please share it on. We're also on YouTube if you want to see Keith and I, which we recommend you do. See how our decorating is getting on at our respective houses and stuff.
Really good. That's been green for the last 6 months.
What have you been doing?
It's not me.
Oh dear, amazing. No, but yeah, please like, follow and subscribe on all those things and help us grow and reach more people. Right. Good work, Keith. I'll end it there, shall I? Beautiful.
You guys soon.
Take it easy, everybody.